Sasha.
We're live on Adobe Radio on the Golden Weed Show every Monday night for so many years of our lives. Like six.
Many, many years. Thank you for joining us on this
thank
journey.
You, Adobe Radio, for having us all of the time. We love you so much. And we appreciate you having a couple weed shows on the air. Just like getting on board, getting on board at the right time.
Early, ahead of the game.
Yeah. Like, you never doubted us for a second. Maybe you did, but we didn't know about it if you did. Never doubted the Cool Nerd Weed Show's capabilities. And we love you so much for that, IW Radio. Always listen to IW Radio. They're the best.
They trust us to go live.
To go live every Monday night. And we appreciate that. Find us everywhere, though. If you don't catch us live, you can always listen to us on the pod device streamings, the streamings of the devices of the pods. There's like a bunch of ways.
I see like an actual stream, like a brook, a creek, if you will.
A creek, and that's where all of our content is. It's
just floating down the stream.
Yeah, that's us, and we're out there. So you can find us and enjoy us. You can listen to our old episodes. Do we sound different? We probably do. We do, actually. I know that we do.
It's like the original Homer Simpson voice, and then till now.
Hello. I sounded like this.
Let's go out for some frosty milkshakes.
Yeah, from frosty milkshakes. Yeah, that's definitely us. We were, but we found our groove pretty quickly, and here we are today. It's our favorite. But we started doing the show for a lot of reasons. It was becoming recreational here in California, so that was like a big reason. But we also started the show because we felt like things were gonna like go off the rails in terms of like information because of like how mainstream it was becoming. It kind of felt like the things that we saw working in the industry, like it was like I would leave California and be like, oh my God, why doesn't anybody know what I know in California? Like what I've seen weed do and not do.
True.
I haven't seen weed ruin lives, and I haven't seen weed turn anybody, and I haven't seen weed cause anything. But that's not the information that's out there. And also, weed is also being used in a different way nowadays than before. It's accessible. People are consuming it quite a bit, even when... I want to say before we start talking about the weed and psychosis stuff that, I am not arguing or, saying anything to the contrary that weed and psychosis sometimes happen in the same body. Like, I'm not saying like, no way, somebody smoked weed and also had psychosis. Like, I'm sure and it's clear that there is people who have psychosis tend to smoke weed more. We'll talk about that later. But yes, I'm open to understanding that better and to, seeing what we can do about preventing any sort of things happening, and like the whole cannabis use disorder thing. That's obviously something that's happening that we have to acknowledge as real. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. It's all encompassing. And right now we are truly living in the golden age of cannabis.
It's all new, everything is.
We're studying. There's more and more states are legal. People,
countries.
There's like cannabis education is at like an all-time high.
Yeah. And it's like not just, like people like TS and I who just have like an interest in weed and we love it. It's like scientists and shit and doctors and government people and like people who are. Have a lot of brain wrinkles and who are like trying to figure out how weed can better our society or, you know, how it can fit into our society. It's not just weed is a panacea and it's not reefer madness. There is like an in-between that we're trying to ride. But I think it's difficult because of like the access that people got to weed and dabbing and all those things. I think it was great, but it was also kind of detrimental because it people are getting like dirty dabs and all, you know, like, and all this like stuff that they don't know what to do with. So I think these studies that are coming out are a little, they need to be honed in a little bit because everything is, like you said, it's the golden age. It's the golden age. So things are new. Things are just being looked at. And so a few weeks ago, I don't think we talked about it, but a few weeks ago, there was a study that came out in High Times and a bunch of other places that said there was no significant association between cannabis use and developing psychosis.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this is, you know, this is an interesting development because previously to this, all the reefer madness is saying that cannabis is causing.
Well, we're not done psychosis with that yet because we'll get back. We'll get to where it is now, and it's back to that because, and we'll you know kind of explain why, right. but they're. Flash forward to now, you know, two, three weeks later, now they're saying studies are coming out where cannabis is related to psychosis, but that is flawed as well. Because in this the original article that we're talking about, it says all the things that you expect, you know, to read, like people who are predisposed to psychotic disorders already have that, you know, in them, and they tend to use weed a lot, and that can lead to a cannabis misuse disorder. Or if you're predisposed to that sort of psychosis, it can. We have definitely heard those things and seen those things in our time where somebody who has psychosis already is using weed to relieve those symptoms and just uses a little bit too much.
Is it, are we talking about like psychosis and some like schizophrenia as well? Or yeah. is this all like lumped into one sort of category?
It's just saying like, even among people predisposed to psychosis. So I don't think it's like necessarily a schizophrenia, but I just think it's like, you know, a psychosis.
General
like
psychosis.
If you have a mental illness that involves psychosis, the thought was that you could be at risk for cannabis induced psychosis. But this study found that no, that is not true. Lifetime incidences of acute cannabis-induced psychosis are very rare. That is what this study has found. This is Canadian mostly, I think. But there's also like something that was published in the American Medical Association.
Yeah, just earlier this year in January.
Yeah, and it doesn't support that there is an association between like states that legalized and an uptick in cannabis and psychosis. So flash forward a couple weeks. And so I thought like, okay, fine. Not like I thought we could put it to bed, but I thought maybe that would be, you know, useful to people. But just recently, you know, the past couple days, really, I've seen like a bunch of stuff on my For You page. And also like people really have been saying like more and more. And like, you know, we talked about Kevin Smith a few weeks ago. People are saying that like, and I would say that too, that if you have, you know, serious mental illness, like weed's not going to cure it, you know, like that's something I can say with confidence.
it might be part of the process.
You can use it for relief for your symptoms at times, but it's just like Tylenol for a headache. Tylenol doesn't cure your headache. It just relieves the symptoms. You know, like that's most Band-Aids just do that. And like, not like I'm saying weed is just a Band-Aid. There's so much more to weed. I'm just talking about like mental health, you know. People react to, it's why people get anxiety attacks when they smoke. If you're prone to things, the danger is calling it a cause. And that is where, you know, we kind of come in and say like, okay, there literally is nothing that says weed causes.
Will cause it, cause your
a random psychosis. Like if you're just smoking weed and you're not predisposed and you're an adult, it's not going to trigger a reefer madness and you're not going to leave your baby in the bathtub. If you're a child, a teenager whose brain is still developing and you don't know, you have some behavioral disorders, you're anxious, so you smoke some weed. We don't know whether you have schizophrenia or some sort of psychosis. Then you may be at risk for an episode that was triggered by your cannabis use. That is really all we know.
At a younger age. With a developing brain.
And a new study has come out saying basically this. So we'll get to that in 1 second, but I do want to play Riley, Cannabichem. We love Riley. We listen to her all the time. And she... the reason why I even wanted to talk about this, I can't find it. Hold on, I'll pull it up. You talk about Riley for a second. I'm just kidding.
Riley is a scientist. She has a PhD in all kinds of
chemistry.
Things. Chemistry, plant science. Yeah, PhD in pharma science, natural products, and you know she came on our show, broke it down. And here she is.
Yeah. She was on our show before, like during like the pandemic. I just like came across her TikToks on my For You page. And I was like, this is really important to talk about because nobody was really talking about like chemistry, even though like the cannabinoids and the everything, the deltas and all that stuff that you're seeing is chemistry. It's weird. The industry really hasn't been looking at it in a scientific way, which is the problem, which we'll get to as well. It's just been kind of colloquial and like word of mouth and not really looked at. And this is where I think it gets murky and why we have publications being like, oh, totally like schizophrenia, cannabis induced schizophrenia. So here's Riley kind of, I found a TikTok from like recently where she's talking about this recent study and kind of breaks down, kind of just breaks down the whole thing. So here it is.
Cannabis use and schizophrenia. Now, I want to start with the most important thing, and that is that there is no evidence at all that cannabis use alone can cause schizophrenia. There is absolutely a genetic component here that cannot be ignored. The main accepted theory at this point is that there is a genetically susceptible population of people, and these gene mutations that they have make them more likely to overuse cannabis and more likely to develop psychotic conditions.
I think it's also important to talk about how little we fucking know about mental illness. Schizophrenia was seen as like witch magic, like not 50 years ago. So like we don't.
Well, yeah, they would just lock you up.
Right. They put you in a padded room.
And that's
they
it.
Said you had magical powers. And still to this fucking day, movies like Split are made. Nobody knows. Like mental illness is such a, for some fucking reason, we didn't know that it was a real study and science. I mean, you watch like shows from the 80s and they're like, you need therapy. And they're like, that's fucking, you know, shrink. You know, like, no, mental illness has been real since the dawn. So it's insane to my brain that we did not take this as a serious science. So that alone is very important to note, that getting a hold of mental illness and really taking it and dissecting it and trying to help it is a real problem. Like there's not a lot of medicines that can do that. Just that's why weed has been so used so much, because, you know, the other alternative is lithium sometimes, you know, and we have encountered that, where we have seen friends and family who have had psychotic breaks and have been put on lithium, and we'd send them RSO, and like that would save them. But, you know, that was back then, before we really knew, before this was, again, studied as a science. We are not doctors. We're just bud tenders. So at this current day, I don't know that I would do that, just because we don't know now, especially like with what things are made of. I would probably rethink that. But back then, like whatever, 7 years ago, it was
the only option.
You'd be like, no, stop taking that doctor recommended heavy ass medicine. But because it was safer to take weed. But now I think it's worth, you know, looking at all the things, because we know more about mental illness and we know more about weed. And we're learning more about mental illness and we're learning more about weed. That was, I just wanted to point out.
Now, this is a poorly understood and difficult topic to research. But what we know is that people with schizophrenia tend to use cannabis products. However, the overwhelming majority of people who use cannabis products will never develop any sort of psychotic disorder. Numerous studies have found that increases in the population-wide use of cannabis has not been associated with increases in the psychotic disorders within the population, which has been pretty stable over time. What has been found is that the use of cannabis with people with schizophrenia could potentially lower the age in which they first experience the symptoms of that condition. But again, it is not causing it. The genetic predisposition is already there. It's just bringing out those conditions earlier than what that person might have experienced otherwise. Lastly, consistent use of very high THC cannabis products can increase the likelihood of a negative mental health episode.
So yeah, so like what she said before, where there is a genetic component, and if you don't know you have that genetic component and you're smoking dabs, you may be irritating that component. It's science, it's chemistry, you know, and there
is a possibility that it could come out and rear its head in earlier than it may.
Right.
Than it would have developed.
Unmedicated.
If you're not smoking.
Yeah. So that's why I said in the beginning, I'm not saying that it doesn't, you know, happen. But it's also worth noting that like we are creating these formulas, these like weeds. And we were for a long time with like high THC percentages in mind. And she does go on to say that maybe taking a look at that, because we know now, and we're starting to understand now, that weed isn't only medicinal because of the THC percentage. So looking at high THC percentage isn't really the way to go when you're shopping for your medicine. It might actually be detrimental to your mental health going higher in THC. So you don't need to be going for like the 92% dab
the 90% vape.
Right. The 40% flower.
30% flowers.
And you know, that's coming from me, and I love my high percentages, but I also have to acknowledge that, like, yeah, it makes total sense. Especially if you're predisposed to having the genetic makeup of a schizophrenia. That to me makes sense in a way that's not like everybody fucking throw away your bongs and so, you know, I think it's like not panicky. It's definitely reasonable to start to think about. Now, these new studies that are coming out, like, I would be wary reading them, and I wouldn't, if you know somebody who has schizophrenia, you are psychosis prone, I would take a lot of these, even the ones that are like there's no significant, I would really take in that there is no evidence that just weed alone has caused an episode. I would take that into consideration, and you know, always obviously talk to your doctor, and just know that like weed just isn't making people have episodes. more often than not, there is, you know, it's, and also there's no way to find out. Like they're saying in this article, like you very easily found out that tobacco smoking exacerbated cancer, and you found that out because you did tests in animals and shit. You can't test this in animals. You can't really do this. So
yeah, all of the studies have been done on mice,
right? And like that was fine with tobacco, but you can't even do that with cannabis. You can't test schizophrenic mice
no,
with weed. No. So like, not only is, again, mental health and mental illness very poorly studied right now. It's getting better, obviously, much, much better. But mental illness is very misunderstood. And like pair that with weed, you have something that nobody understands really, except for people who are scientists and chemists and psychiatrists, or, you know, people who really fucking specialize in that shit. Like those are the people who can tell you, you know, what they're finding. And I would just be wary of studies coming out, and just know that like there's so much more to be done. So like, oh, I can't find the California thing, but so you have it. So this, like what we're saying is that there really does need to be specialized, like controlled studies, and not just like any old weed. Like it needs to, like, we need to understand what dosages, what percentages, what things we're using. We need to understand everything better when it comes to like public health and weed. And California is starting to do it.
California announced $20 million for 16 cannabis research grants.
Wow.
And, you know, they're going to give a good amount of money to UC Irvine to do they're studying the short and long term effects of high doses of THC.
Okay, so yeah, that's what we're talking about.
UCLA is going to evaluate, this is where it was, an evaluation of synthetic and semi-synthetic cannabinoids. So, you know, it's really been challenging the information associated with synthetic cannabinoids.
Right.
So,
well, yes, that's
there's
gotten
a lot of
it's made everything a little cloudy,
a little muddy between actual cannabinoids and synthetic cannabinoids. So UCLA is going to study that. The adverse effects of inhaled cannabis concentrates, dabs, versus regular smoked cannabis. And that's going to be a controlled human drug administration study.
Wow.
So sign me up.
Yeah, I know. We'll tell you.
UCLA is also going to be studying the interaction between Delta-9 THC and CBD.
Okay, great.
And how these ratios affect intoxication and human health effects. What is it? San Francisco is doing the impact of potency and concentrates and THC metabolism and cognitive impairment in young adults.
That's great. That's great.
UC Davis is studying the chemistry and toxicology of and brain dispositions of cannabinoids and other novel cannabinoids. So we're really going to break it down.
Yeah.
I mean, because there's like, there's a lot of products coming out with various mixes of cannabinoids that we really need to study, because there's a lot there.
They
various
are.
Combinations. So UC Davis is going to be in charge of that. UCSD is, where is it? More brain studies.
Yeah, they're doing a lot
psychiatric
of mental
functions.
Yeah.
Which is
awesome.
Also great. And more mental health studies in adolescence.
Yeah, I mean, it's like pretty, it's pretty historic. It's like the first federally compliant study where, you know, you're really looking at just like smoking weed, like people smoke weed. It's not like, you know, it's coming, like the weed is coming from where people would get weed. It's not just coming from like wherever that place in Maryland is, like, you know, or whatever the one place where they study weed.
Where was it? Mississippi.
Yeah, Mississippi.
The G13.
Yeah, yeah. This is like actual like field and you know, it's being studied on humans. So this is really, really good.
Yeah.
I am so excited to see what the results are from these grants and these studies. It's pretty big. So, and it, yeah, it's definitely like legendary and historic and great. So I'm stoked to see. It's a big advancement. It's a big deal that this is happening. It's not just like, because all we do, and that's literally what the first half hour of the show was saying, there's not enough research to show anything at all, let alone that cannabis induces psychosis alone. So this will tell us a lot. It'll tell us percentages. It'll tell us things about young people. The cannabinoids thing too. Like, there's so many, and it's everything is marketing, but people do use this for medicine. So there's like a blurring. There's a, you know, it's definitely like we have to get ahead of it, or else the industry won't be taken seriously. So we do have to make sure that legit studies are done and we're getting ahead of the misinformation.
UCLA is also in charge of the medical cannabis industry studies as well, like street medicine.
Oh, shit.
One other thing that I thought was interesting in a sort of is that they're studying, Cal Poly Humboldt is studying legacy cannabis genetics.
Mm-hmm. I saw that too. Yeah.
It's a whole nother.
Yeah, that's not just like how it affects humans. It's like, you know, I think
the genealogy of actual strains and how they could affect you.
Yeah, and like understanding that and not letting that get muddy is, I mean, that's definitely like a whole different thing, but it's cool that they're starting to do that, to see what comes from where and like how, you know, because eventually that's what you want to do, like as a doctor or as somebody who consumes weed, you know, because everybody's consuming weed for medicine in some way. So you want to know all of the things that you can know. If eventually we want this to be federally whatever, you know, I'm sure the FDA is going to try to get on board. If you want things to be FDA compliant and shit, like
if you could,
as a consumer, you're going to want to know these things. You're going to want to know where the genetics are. You're going to want to know all of the things that these studies are finding out.
If you could point to a UCLA study and say cannabis does A, B, C, and D.
Of course.
And
some shit you can tell your fucking uncle on Thanksgiving, be like, look, UCLA said. And I think it doesn't say anything here either about like pregnant people, but I would be interested to see if they did any studies with that too, but that's a very difficult study to do. No pregnant person wants to do that, but I've read a lot of them and I'm genuinely curious where that goes, but that'll probably take a while. You know, those things, pregnant people are different.
Yeah, I don't.
Unfortunately,
there was nothing mentioned in the.
No, this is progressive enough as it is. They're not gonna
really like push push the button.
Yeah, like there's nothing in here about driving. You know,
true.
Yeah, there's no like under the influence shit in here.
This is
actual useful shit. You know, this is strictly
medical and science
argue for all the time. And it's not misinformation. It's actual information.
Science.
So we like this. Thanks, California. We love you. We like to be in you. And again, you see a study about cannabis and psychosis, take it in, do your due diligence. As TS, I mean, I don't want to speak for you, but like for me, you know, my first instinct, it used to be, I know what to tell you. But now, with weed being different and with developments happening in the field of mental health, I would be more prone to say, talk to your doctor.
Regarding mental health issues?
And weed.
Yeah, I mean, you could always come to us for some friendly
advice. We will give you guidance.
Advice, but we are not doctors.
And we will tell you what we know. And we know a lot of things. But in terms of your mental health, at this stage in the game,
yeah, consult a professional.
Yeah, we have stuff that we've seen help a lot of mental health issues, and we know from firsthand. But you know, I think with the potencies and the formulas that are happening in this stage, or we would recommend, or I would recommend like a low, like something like Blue Dream. It was like 18%.
Yeah. Low THC start off. Maybe some level capsules with a mix of cannabinoids.
But definitely, you know, talk to your doctor, do diligence, and also in that same breath, know that there's no evidence of just cannabis alone inducing psychosis. So please, if you know you have these mental health tendencies, then talk to your doctor. If you are young, don't smoke weed because it's illegal. If you and if you're us, then, you know, just have it out. Don't rush to anything. Your mental health is more important. And the studies of it are more important. Weed and mental health, these studies are so important. We just have to be patient and see what they tell us.
It's coming. It's coming. We'll keep you posted.
Of course we will. And we're very excited that it's happening. And be careful out there. We're going to take a break, and then we will come back and go across the land. We'll be right back.
It's the Cool Nerd Weed Show with TS and Sasha. Don't panic. It's organic.
Yeah. There's a lot of things to make you panic, though. It's a crazy time. We're back. That's TS.
And that's Sasha.
And we're the Cool Nerd Weed Show. And we're live on Adobe Radio on a Monday night in May of 2023. I don't know when you're listening to the show, but that is when this show aired. I like to time stamp the episode sometimes. You never know. Like if an alien is listening to this episode in like 2055.
And they're like, oh, that was May of
2023.
In the mid 21st century.
The golden age of cannabis. Old Beavis and Old Butthead.
We are. Sometimes we are. We are living in a golden age of cannabis.
Yeah, that's what people say. If they find our podcast in a time capsule.
Floating on a CD in space, like a golden CD.
Yeah. Yeah, we should like tell the government that they should play our podcast to the aliens.
It's like picked up via SETI. We'll broadcast via the SETI satellite.
Yeah. Yeah. We should arrange that.
We'll have it played in the Integratron.
Yeah.
Just.
What would an alien from the future think about if they listened to us? They probably vibe. I feel like they would be like, these guys are fucking cool.
Translate this first segment of the Cool Nerd Weed Show into the alien language.
I feel like they would. I feel like they'd really like us.
It's all a cookbook. Yeah, it's just a giant.
How to serve like, the Cool Nerd Weed Show for dinner. Well, we would absolutely be very cool people to abduct. I mean, whatever. I mean, I guess if you're going to do all the traditional abduction things.
What if they had like some crazed hydroponic replicator on the alien spacecraft and grew
awesome.
some hydrochronic bubonic.
Whoa, alien weed, not like Alien the brand. Alien,
just like straight extraterrestrial.
Yeah, extraterrestrial bud. Whoa. It's probably like DMT. Well, that is something to think about. We're in a sci-fi mood. We watched a lot of Twilight Zone this weekend. But we're in real life. And in real life, Thailand just went... just decriminalized cannabis.
Oh, yeah. Like earlier last year?
Yeah, like mid last year.
About a year ago?
Yeah. They took it away, or they like banned, they took it off of the banned list of narcotics, which means, you know, it's chill. It's not like promoting holding and selling, but it's like, we can't deal with that right now.
Yeah. Just they're
fucking whatever.
So, a lot
it's a first step to recreational use, really, is decriminalizing. That's what we've
always. And, they opened up a lot of dispensaries in the tourist areas in Thailand. And, you know, like many of the people that decriminalize, they didn't have any plans in place to actually like set up a recreational system.
Yeah. Like a market. And that, you know, like we see that when it happens to every single place, if they don't have like a very strict, you know, I don't know, like model in place, of course there's going to be cowboys who are trying to sell some weed. So naturally a bunch of cowboys popped up, just like every place that it went, that it was decriminalized. But here it's being said that this weed is not local Thailand weed, which is a bummer, because I can imagine that Thailand weed is probably titties.
I mean, it's where the
it's where the land races originated.
Like you could probably get some bomb ass sativa.
So imagine being us and like going to Thailand and being like stoked and getting some bomb Thai food, and then finding a dispensary and going to buy some fucking weed from New Jersey or some shit.
I'm like, what is your local strain? What is a typically a Thai strain? And then and they're like, here's some apple fritter. I'm like, screaming. Here's some Girl Scout cookie.
Yeah, I'd be really sad, and I think I would know, you know, just being a U.S. tourist. And if you're in Thailand, I can imagine you're getting your weed wherever you got your weed from, you know, locally before.
Yeah.
But it's a shame. So I guess like basically, it's the government's fault for kind of. Well, that's what this article says. According to Al Jazeera, officials and people who control these things have been letting in some imports from the U.S. Because we have those Zaza 35% strains. So you're sending the fucking white label Ted Buds over to Thailand. I'm a reckon that it's from California, because we really do pump up the percentages, or maybe like, or I don't know, but like it's, or Ohio. I mean, Ohio does have like a lot of weed they're pumping out.
Oklahoma.
I'm sorry, not
Oklahoma.
Ohio.
Yeah.
One of those O states. Yeah. Smoke Oklahoma had a lot. They were providing a lot of cowboy weed. I don't know. I have to feel like in Thailand, it's probably California, but
yeah, this is crazy to me that it's being shipped in. Well, I mean, I guess it's always been, but it's being shipped from the U.S. Maybe Canada.
Yeah, a lot of people are saying it's actually Canada where it's coming from.
Canada is notoriously like produced massive commercial.
Yeah.
Cannabis.
Oh my God, even worse. Like, okay, California weed, okay. But like, imagine if you're going to Thailand expecting some Thai weed and you get Canadian weed.
You get some fucking beasters.
Oh my goodness.
Some old school beasters.
That would bum me out, man.
And go all the way to Thailand, and all I got was beasters.
You know, Thailand is interesting. There's a lot of like expats and people who go to Thailand to start lives that are different from the one that they previously had. So those people seem to be opening dispensaries. And that is what you also see when a place goes decriminalizes weed. So that seems to be happening in Thailand. What I would hope is that local growers and people and officials kind of overpower what is happening now. It doesn't really say in this article whether or not there's like a plan in place, or whether or not it's just going to be, you know, politics and cowboys.
Probably politics as usual, but there are some people that believe in protecting the domestic market and supporting local Thai growers and farmers.
I mean, you would hope so.
And if you're going to go over there as a tourist too, I would try to support the local growers and farmers.
You could probably find them around these dispensaries, but look there first. You know, these aren't dispensaries that we are like, support your local dispensary.
I've seen a lot of the cannabis influencers heading to Thailand. You know, some of the bigger name dudes are already over there trying to figure out what they're...
Thailand just did a big tourist push. There's like a lot of people that have gone, I think recently, like they're doing like reality shows and shit. Over
Okay.
And somebody realized on one of them that we were watching that they were like, weed is legal in Thailand. Like, let's go get some. And it is dispensary, walk right in, smoke shop like any other decriminalized place. But yeah, keep that in mind if you're going for your tourists in Thailand. And, you know, it's just kind of something you got to think about.
Yeah. I mean, how cheap is it being imported? Because they're saying, you know, you can find, you know, local cannabis is like $8 to $10 a gram, but imports like $4 to $5 a G.
Yeah. Yeah, they're saying like a local strain will be like $9, but imports are like $4 to $5. So like, I guess you can get like crappy US weed or Canadian weed cheaper than your local nice Thailand weed.
Just start popping those seeds in Thailand and you'll get some.
Yeah. It's just like how it is. It's like what everybody said that happened in New York. I can't speak to it because I'm not there. But what I've read is that all these smoke shops, all the people who are scooping up the licenses and stuff, they're all from another place. They aren't necessarily people who are social equity, and they're not cannabis advocates necessarily. They're not from... You know, we had in California, we had a lot of people come from everywhere else. We had people from like fucking Cleveland, like coming in being like, I have money, I will invest. And that was strange because every cannabis culture is different to each place. So cannabis culture benefits from like locality and like the local color and the local land. So that's just something to think about wherever you go, where it's not recreational. Or adult use, rather. It's just kind of something to keep in mind, is that when you have a market that kind of doesn't give a fuck about its local resources, and you have, you know, a fucking real estate agent from like Oklahoma coming in and buying up your storefront and putting in a bunch of weed that comes from crappier places of the world, it's a bummer, but it is something that you can overcome. And I do feel like a lot of industries have overcome it. Or a lot of like places have overcome. Like, I feel like New York's doing it. I mean, they definitely are suffering from out of state people coming in and scooping up licenses with money. But I do feel like I've seen a lot of effort for local farms and people to get in there, you know.
Well, some of the markets try to make resident requirements.
Yeah.
Things like that. Hawaii did that.
Hawaii did do that
for like ownership and board members and things.
That sounds exclusive, and I don't want to sound like that. Like, obviously, like, it is the golden age of cannabis, so like everybody should have opportunity, no matter where you are, and how you are, and why you are. I do believe that, of course, but I also, again, think that like coming in to a culture like Thailand, where there probably is a pretty deep cannabis culture there.
I don't live there,
but we know that that is comes from.
Probably like for the last 1,000 years since, or plus.
Yeah, way before it made its way over here. I think it's important to note and respect the localness of the culture of weed. It's not like anything else. You can't just swoop in and sell it.
The locals will see right through you.
Yeah.
Eventually.
And they'll be mad.
They're going to be mad. Tourists, you can fool some of the tourists. They'll probably smoke your shit. They might not come back if they know anything.
Yeah. Well, they'll be bummed.
They had some some Canadian boof when they were in
that
Thailand.
That would piss me off so bad.
Some oh, stale-ass so cannabis.
Ooh, some like crusty, old, packaged, crunchy, vacuum-sealed. No offense, Canada. We're going to talk about you in the next segment, actually. We're going to give you some props. But your weed is something to be desired, and I don't know where you can really argue with that. From what I've had, that's just my experience.
I don't know. It's always good to support your local.
That's
what
we say.
Support your local growers. Support your local dispensary.
Yes. And, it's hard because technically those are the local dispensaries. But you know... We're telling you. You're listening
choice.
To the
you
show, and now you know, and it's in your head. So now you know it. You can't unhear it. So, you know, you can go for fucking convenience, or you can be like ethical and go find a fucking. It's not going to be hard to find somebody who sells weed, and you're not going to get in trouble in Thailand because it's fucking decriminalized. So I'm not telling you to knock on a fucking neighbor's door, but you will find a cowboy and be able to smoke some really good Thai weed. And not get fucking hosed with shitty weed. And that'll be the way it goes in every single place that has a culture and then is decriminalized. I think that's like the last of them, though, of places who have like a strong cannabis culture.
That's,
you know what I mean? And then like needs to be decriminalized. Like, I feel like the world is almost done there.
That's probably it. You know, they're not going to decriminalize in the some of the, like the Hindu Kush mountains.
Well, yeah,
maybe not anytime soon.
That'd be cool, like though.
Thailand has like major cities.
Yeah, Thailand's a very like important diverse. Place of commerce, like, so it is huge that we might be a source of agriculture and income there. So fucking get it together, people. All right, we're gonna take a quick break and we're gonna come right back.
The final Huff and Puff with TS and Sasha.
Whoops, I played Huff and Puff. This is not a Huff and Puff. This is just a puff. Because we're not huffing and puffing. These are just our final thoughts. I wonder if anybody ever picked up on that, that this is a take on Jerry Springer, RIP.
Yeah, I'm sure everybody gets our
you get us.
Humor.
I mean, you get us. That's why you're listening to the Cool Nerd Weed Show. But the final Huff and Puff is a nod to Jerry Springer's final thoughts on infamous Jerry Springer Show. He would always be like, you just saw a bunch of little people and,
and some,
oiled up.
Paternity tests.
People. And he wasn't big on the paternity.
No,
he was more.
That
that was
Maury.
Jerry Springer was more people physically fighting and chanting Jerry. And he'd be like, you just saw somebody's toupee get thrown into somebody else's mouth. But really what it comes down to is caring about each other.
What did he say? Love each other.
Love each other. And
be
take
kind.
Care of each other. And be kind. Until next time. This is fucking ridiculous. Well, we are back on the Cool Nerd Weed Show, and we are going to talk about something that is controversial. So we are very big advocates of harm reduction, and Canada is very infamously pro harm reduction. And I'm assuming this is what this movement is kind of about. So Vancouver, we talked about the story when it happened. British Columbia, that area of the world, is very progressive in its laws. They were the first to legalize like psychedelics. They were the first to do a lot of things that were progressive in what we would consider in the United States of A as controlled substances in most places. But they decided recently to put forth a program where they decriminalize all drugs, basically.
Yeah, small amounts. Of all drugs.
Opioids, cocaine, meth, MDMA, so on and so forth. You cannot sell it, which is where this story gets weird, because Vice did a thing on this dude in Vancouver, right?
Yeah, Jerry Martin.
Jerry Martin in
Vancouver. Opened up a place called Drugs Store.
Yeah.
And on the east side of Vancouver, which I believe I've been to.
I don't think I have.
But Vancouver is very progressive with its the way it handles its drug policies.
Yeah,
it has been for a long time. They decriminalized cannabis a long time ago.
Yeah, a long time ago.
And so Jerry Martin opens up a store, and he is allowing people to come in and buy their allowed amount of. You can have 2.5 grams of
each
drug. So he's got heroin, he's got cocaine, he's got meth, he's got MDMA, he's got some science drugs.
I don't know how long it's going to be open, but it also is worth noting that before weed was legal, it was decriminalized in Canada, and storefronts opened and closed daily. You know, you had one store open place, you had another store open another place. They allowed people from other countries to get weed. So this is not something Canada is unfamiliar with, which is somebody doing basically a pop-up, a drugstore pop-up. And his reasoning is that these drugs are accessible and decriminalized in British Columbia. And since 2016, the stat is that 11,000 British Columbians have died from a drug overdose since 2016. So they did declare it a public health emergency. Fentanyl was really a big cause of most drug deaths in North America, full stop, for the last few years. It's gotten pretty fucking insane. People are dropping like flies. So his reasoning is, I have clean drugs. I don't know where he gets them.
Well, he has wherever he's getting his supply, he's having tested.
Where do you think he gets them? Just traditionally?
I mean, yeah, Vancouver is like a port city, so everything's there.
High level.
You know, he's buying from a high level source at that.
Wow, this is so risky.
He is putting himself at great risk from the
life
government.
Life in jail for sure for selling drugs.
Being robbed.
We do advocate for harm reduction, and if this is what he's doing this for, then, you know, sure, I do advocate for that. It's your needle exchange programs. It's if you have access to safe drugs, and that will help you it's kind of like a way to hold yourself accountable and make sure you don't die. I support that. I do. I just hope he doesn't get himself fucking a life prison sentence.
There's always, you know, somebody always has to take on and challenge the government.
It's definitely this is the person who's
going to. This is the person that's going to do it. Jerry Martin.
Yeah. No, if you can provide clean drugs to people who don't have access to them, I think that is something that you should do. So if he knows, I mean, and he's kind of been in the biz, he's gotten a couple
I'm sure if you're sourcing these kind of products,
yeah,
then you obviously know what you're doing. Also, he checks IDs.
He does.
He makes sure you're at least 18.
Yes.
And you have to sign a waiver
that
you have previously used
these drugs
that you are purchasing.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that it is. And it's also, not only is it harm reduction in terms of like using dirty drugs, it's also pretty unsafe to go to certain places to find your drugs. And that is, I think, how his brother died or something. He was like doing a drug deal. So a lot of people who shouldn't be dead are dead from the illegalness of drugs. So this, not drugs themselves, but the illegalness of drugs. And a lot of people are dead from drugs, but the illegalness of it is what makes it triple, double, dangerous. So this is providing maybe a safer alternative, we say. That is our show. We talked about a lot of things today, I feel like.
We covered a lot of ground.
Be safe, whatever you're doing, and whatever drug you're consuming, try to be as safe as you possibly can. And the most you can possibly do is hydrate. no matter what drug you are doing, just stay hydrated, especially if you're smoking weed. And we just want you to always drink that water. If you're in Canada, drink that water. If you're in Thailand, drink that water. Whatever it is that you're doing.
Don't panic.
It's organic.